And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. We got some breaking news after we got off the air yesterday. A frequent guest on the Dory Monson Show, congressional candidate Joe Kent. He is moving on now to the November election, where he is a heavy favorite against a Democrat down in Washington's 3rd District. Joe Kent was running against a Republican incumbent, Jamie Herrera Butler. He was running as a Republican. It is so tough to knock off an incumbent in Congress. How tough is it? Well, the last time an incumbent in Congress lost a primary race was 1930 in the state of Washington. So it was the first time in 92 years that an incumbent congressional member was knocked off in a primary. So why did this happen? Well, Jamie Herrera Butler voted for the Trump impeachment. In fact, 9 of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump are not moving on to the November election. Some resigned, some just didn't want to fight anymore. They knew they'd lost their party, or at least the diehards in their party. Jamie Herrera Butler, she had been a pretty rock-solid Republican, but when she chose to abandon her party and vote for impeachment, which was a completely contrived scam, you know, the Russia impeachment, that was the first one. And then the second one was based on January 6th, when Trump only had a week or so left in office. And she wanted to make some kind of a political statement, but she ended her political career at a very young age. She was only 31, I think. And she served several terms in Congress. And I think she's just in her early 40s now. And she's done, because she decided to turn her back. Joe Kent, he came on with us yesterday. He wasn't talking much to the media, but he came on our show and he told us some interesting things. One was, first of all, his ballot, he had to watch vote.wa.gov to see if his ballot had been counted, because it said it had been received, but it hadn't been counted. Why in the world was yours, one of the candidates involved, why do you think yours was rejected?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I would like to just think they were being really, really thorough, and my signatures didn't look, but it is weird.
So.
It's very odd. They did call me. I mean, they recognized that I was a candidate, and they said, "Hey, we'll give you, you know, we gave you a call. We don't call everybody." But yeah, it just really shows that you gotta. Election day isn't the only day. You got to keep watching that website to make sure that your vote's actually been accepted.
And he agrees with something I've been saying for years. I hate mail-in voting. I think it is rife with the possibility of fraud. I think we should vote in person. I think when you register to vote, your signature should be on file. You should be able to produce a piece of ID and show that you can sign a document that matches up with your voter registration signature. And if not, you should not be allowed to vote. But with them all mail-in in Washington, I have never thought that that was a great way to count votes.
It's not a transparent system. I think it just leads to people not trusting our elections. And I think that's a real issue. So I think we really need to work on adjudicating all these different elections and then just showing people the danger of the mail-out ballot system and getting back to voting in person.
I agree with that. Then he talked about what ultimately turned the tide for him, because he was trailing after the initial vote count. But and he's up by less than 1,000 in the most recent vote count. But Jamie Herrera Butler could see the way the late ballots that were hand-delivered on Election Day, that they were all breaking in Joe Kent's favor. And he said, because the media, almost everybody else in the media, was trying to use Trump-endorsed candidate Joe Kent. Trump-endorsed was an epithet. But he says, nope. That's another example of where the media got everything wrong. It helped you take the lead over an incumbent Republican.
Yeah, it certainly did. I mean, one of the first agreements that all of us candidates made was whoever Trump endorsed, the rest of us drop out and rally behind. A couple of candidates adhered to that, but a few didn't. You know, so it was a big deal who got the Trump endorsement. I think President Trump's endorsement's the most significant endorsement in the history of American politics. So it really helped. Yeah, you can definitely tell the media's in meltdown that, you know, a Trump-endorsed candidate is taking out one of the impeachment voters. But I think it just shows the direction our party is heading in, you know, especially in light of President Trump's personal residence getting raided by the FBI. We're up against quite a bit. You know, the establishment and the corporate press, they don't want America First to be the future of the Republican Party, but it is the future of the Republican Party.
Nothing has changed this upcoming election as much as the raid on Mar-a-Lago. And we're getting more information about the judge, the federal judge who approved that raid. Here's what he said in 2016 about Donald Trump in a Facebook post when he was a private attorney. I generally ignore the president-elect's tweets. No, this is when, after John Lewis had tweeted some nasty stuff about Donald Trump. He was criticizing Donald Trump after he had become president-elect. He said that it wasn't legitimate because of the Russian disinformation campaign. So John Lewis, the much revered congressman who has since passed away, but he said that Trump's election wasn't legitimate because of Russian interference, all of which has been proven to be a Hillary Clinton attempt to smear and steal the election. But because Trump criticized John Lewis for calling the election illegitimate, the judge who signed off on the Mar-a-Lago raid wrote this on Facebook. I generally ignore the president-elect's tweets, but not this one. John Lewis arguably has done more to make America great than any living citizen. Last August, I took my son to the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma so he could understand the kind of courage and sacrifice required to live in a democratic society. John Lewis embodies that spirit. Thank you, Robert Reich, for saying what many of us feel. John Lewis is the conscience of America. Donald Trump doesn't have the moral stature to kiss John Lewis's feet. Really? And that's the judge who got to fairly decide if a warrant that was requested by the Department of Justice to invade Mar-a-Lago was reasonable and justifiable? A judge who said that Donald Trump didn't have the moral stature to kiss John Lewis's feet after John Lewis tried to push out the lie that everybody was trying to push out in 2016 about Russian disinformation? That's the judge who decided on this unprecedented raid of a former president and likely future presidential candidate's home? Man, when we were saying yesterday this looks like a third world banana republic, that's exactly what it looks like when judges apparently can exercise their personal vendettas against somebody by authorizing a raid of their home. Nothing has boosted Trump. I was about ready to write off Trump as viable in 24 because I thought DeSantis had all the momentum. But now Joe Biden and the Department of Justice and this absolutely un-American raid on somebody's home, they have given Trump a turbo boost for running again in 24. And so once again, everything that the political and media elite believe to be true turns out to be the exact opposite of what they hope for. That's the way the last 6 years have been with this guy. So Joe Biden, another huge mistake. All right, onward in the fastest 15. Nicole, I don't come into the office much anymore, but I used to. Mm-hmm. Every Friday morning, I used to get lunch, and I still do that. Friday's the only day I like to go out and get lunch. I just, make healthy stuff all week long, prepare it in advance. But
eat crap on Friday.
Well, not always crap, because I don't eat much fast food anymore. But back before you were producing, every Friday, I would leave the house at 10:45, I would, at about 10:55, I would call the Kid Valley down by U Village. And they knew I was going to call every Friday. Got the same thing every Friday. Burger dip with pepper jack cheese and fries extra crispy. And they would take my call 5 minutes before they opened. They'd have it ready right at 11 o'clock. And I'd be at the station at 11:15. And, oh,
wow,
man, I loved those fries.
Quite the service you got.
Oh, I became buddies. And now I find out that Kid Valley location's closing. Are you a Kid Valley fan?
I mean, they're all right. I don't know that it stands out to me, but yeah. Why did that change? I wonder, because when you were coming into the station, we would get Taco Time every Friday. When did it switch to Taco Time?
Well, it started coming in earlier, and I couldn't patronize a place that opened at 11.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that original Kid Valley, it's permanently closing, according to a Facebook post. They said that because of inflation, it's too expensive to remodel or build a new store. They need to bring it up to code for the American with Disabilities Act. They can't afford to do it. And so August 14th, what is that, 4 days from now, is the last day for the original. That was the first ever Kid Valley location down there on 25th Northeast. So sorry to see it go.
I feel like they're a big deal. I mean, they're in the stadiums, I think. I think they're still in Seahawks.
They used to. Yeah, I don't know if they are anymore.
But it's surprising to me that they couldn't afford that.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's all, you know, cost versus return on investment. And it's a small location, probably doesn't throw off. You can't thrive through. You have to go in. It just
I'm guessing
doesn't pay off anymore.
Some of the activity at night has also had something to do with that. But that would just be my.
It's another example of Biden's America.
Right.
Hey, speaking of fast food, then I'll get back to Joe Biden here. You know how all these fast food places, they supposedly have a secret menu?
Oh, yeah.
That's a big deal, where if you can find online some things that you can order that aren't on the regular menu.
Yeah, I mean, the most famous one is In-N-Out Burger. I think everybody is copying them. I don't know of any other restaurant that does that exclusively like they do. That is an actual menu that's off the side. You can customize things.
I think Arby's does. I think Arby's has. Anyway, but Chick-fil-A does not have a secret menu, but they have just released a menu hack that they say is kind of like a secret menu. Listen to this. They have given people online a tip for how you can have the special mac and cheese. You can have buffalo chicken mac and cheese at Chick-fil-A, even though it's not on the menu. Are you ready for this bit of genius? According to their website, some locations offer buffalo chicken nuggets. And they say if you order those and you order the mac and cheese, that you can then pour the chicken nuggets into the mac and cheese, stir it up, and make your own buffalo chicken mac and cheese.
Whoa.
Genius!
Although you can, all stores, I know, have the buffalo side to dip your chicken nuggets in.
So, yeah,
so why is it specific? Why don't you just ask for that and mix it in your mac and cheese? Is that really
I don't know, but
special?
I'm telling you, this internet.
Wow.
Teaching me how I can take an order of buffalo chicken and an order of mac and cheese, stir them together, and make buffalo chicken mac and cheese. I don't know what I'd do without the internet. This is absolutely amazing. It's good stuff. Good information
there.
All right, speaking of good information, inflation still through the roof. You know that if you go to the grocery store. You know that if the gasoline is more than $2 a gallon more than it was 2 years ago when Joe Biden took office. The new inflation numbers came out this morning, and inflation is still at 8.5% in America. Or as Joe Biden told us this morning.
Actually, I just want to say a number. Zero. Today, we received news that our economy had 0% inflation in the month of July. 0%.
Uh-huh. No. It's 8.5%. It came out today. And all the people know this. Former Clinton Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. He says that the economy is going to keep getting worse and worse and worse under Biden.
I still think we have a very serious inflation problem in this country. I don't think that inflation problem is going to go away of its own volition. And so I think we're likely to have some quite turbulent times ahead.
Yeah, it's going to get worse. And this teacher already knows how bad it is.
Housing is a big thing for me. I think it's absurd how expensive things are getting. I'm a teacher in Boston. I can't even live in Boston to teach.
Rent is also going up really high. I'm really scared. Mine goes up in like 2 months, so I'm like really scared to figure out what that's going to be like.
Yeah, rents through the roof, grocery prices through the roof, all at record highs. Gas prices have come down a little bit, but that doesn't offset. We have 8.5% inflation announced today, and Joe Biden claims it's zero. And the dementia's in full. Have you seen these videos of Biden just in the last 24 hours, Nicole? You see the one with his trying to put on his suit coat?
He's really struggling, yeah. And his cough is really bothering him.
The cough is horrible. He gets out of Marine One and he tries to put on a suit coat and it's dangling on one arm and his other arm is just flailing. He's not even close to the armhole because it's just hanging off his right arm and his left arm is just flailing for about 20 seconds. And then finally Jill helps him put it on and then his aviator sunglasses fall off his nose because he's wearing that stupid mask. And then in another video, Chuck Schumer is at a microphone, and there are four people behind Chuck Schumer. And after he finishes, he turns around, he shakes the hand of those four people. First, Joe Biden, then the other three. And then Joe Biden puts out his hand to shake Chuck Schumer's hand 5 seconds after he shook Chuck Schumer's hand. And Chuck Schumer just turns back to the microphone, and Joe's hand is just sticking out there, waiting for somebody to shake it. And then he gradually brings it up to his face and brushes his cheek with it. It's really bad. And we don't say this with any joy. The dementia is so obvious, and it's progressing at a rather dramatic pace. But if you haven't seen the suit coat or the handshake ones, and I mean, all you have to do is listen to the guy too.
You know, NATO was formed out of the wreckage of World War II, as we all know. Where war, you know, it had, look, just be straight about it. Wars have repeatedly riven the continent, engulfed the world in conflicts, and there's no way to avoid that if we're not together.
I just got lost. Was, you know.
War has caused conflict?
War has caused conflict.
Crazy.
And, yes, I mean, he's just so lost these days, and it's scary. It's just absolutely scary. And then he said war has riven the continent, which I guess that's a word. Riven, split the continent. He's talking about the Civil War, apparently.
You know, it had, look, just be straight about it. Wars have repeatedly riven the continent, engulfed the world in conflicts, and there's no way to avoid that if we're not together.
Good catch. Wars cause conflict. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
Coming up next, Brock Huard. We'll talk about that Mariner game last night, about that sweet Little League story. And I have a little family issue that I might need Brock's advice on. All that straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show.
Here's Dory Monson with Brock Huard, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy.
All right, it's Wednesday afternoon. That's when Brock Huard drops by for his weekly visit on a day when this city has just gone nuts over the Mariners. Brock Huard joins us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Dory, from beautiful Suncadia, Washington. Oh, beautiful day.
Love it there.
Ran into one of your loyal listeners on the stairs. He wanted me to tell you hello today. And we talked about this, 3 weeks ago? I asked you on this very show, I said, Dory, are you ready for this town to become a Mariners town?
Yeah.
And I think last night was about as good an indicator if indeed they can hold on and make the playoffs, of what October could feel like, because it was it was edge of the couch. I mean, it's 11 o'clock. It's a four-hour game,
yeah.
And yet you're on the edge of your seat for every single pitch. It was awesome.
Yeah, I was listening to it. I told you I have Dish Network. They got to fix that I can't. You know, I have MLB. I pay for MLB.com. I pay for Dish Network, and I can't watch any Mariner games. But I had it on the radio, and it was. And everything's better on the radio. Let's face it. But
yeah, I mean, true.
Yeah, but it was really, really fun, and to hear 38,000 people going crazy like that, it was very, very cool.
You remember it, and I remember it. I was in college in 95, where the dorm room was shaken, and I was a Seahawk back in the day in 99 when the town was all Mariners, when it was all A-Rod and Griffey, oh, yeah. And then Ichiro came to town. And, yeah, so I remember what it was like. You remember looking at the ratings. I mean, this was a Mariner town before it was – well, it kind of was a Seahawk town.
Yep.
And then for a decade and a half, it was a Mariner town, and certainly the last decade plus has been all Seahawks and 12s. But I do think the tide is turning, and the Mariners are becoming a very viable, real, fun team to root for.
Yeah, it's been a long time for those fans, so that's good to see. Hey, speaking of baseball, you have a 12-year-old baseball player in your family, Titus, who I got
sure
to go fishing with on Monday.
Yes. Yeah, I think you guys are about eye to eye now.
I mean, I think he's a little taller than me, actually. But did you see this moment in the Little League World Series where the kid from Oklahoma got hit in the head?
Oh, did I see it? Did I see it about 15 times as I kept rewatching and rewatching? I yelled at Titus and called him over, and we watched that. And gosh, what a everything is right in sports moment. For all the times you and I chat about everything that is wrong,
yes.
That was just emblematic of everything that is right in the beauty of sports and sportsmanship.
This kid from Oklahoma gets hit in the head with a pitch. He was down for a few seconds, and he goes to first base. The pitcher from Texas was so upset that he hit the kid that he's on the mound getting emotional, and the kid who got hit runs over to the mound and hugs and consoles the guy who hit him with the pitch. It was just, you just don't see that very often in sports.
No, and it wasn't just Dory hit by a pitch. That ball was screaming, and it hit him right. I mean, it was about as dangerous. It wasn't a curveball or a changeup or something that just grazed his helmet or hit off the top of his helmet.
No,
the thing
drilled.
Hit right. Oh, right below his ear hole. I mean, about as dangerous a spot as there was, and that kid threw hard. And it was like, that was such a legitimate, and I'm sure that pitcher feared, like, oh my gosh, that was dangerous at that distance, at that speed. And yeah, he was totally shook up. And it wasn't as if the dugout or the first base coach was like, hey, why don't you go out there and console this kid? The kid took his helmet off again, handed it to the first base coach, and on his own volition went out there and just hugged the kid and told him, hey, man, you're good. You're great. I'm fine. And it was everything right in sport.
What that kid said on CNN today, why he went and did that, why he went and consoled the pitcher?
I don't watch CNN, but go ahead.
That's the best answer I could have possibly gotten to that question. Okay, I don't either, but I pull sound bites from him when it's merited. Here's the kid who got hit explaining why he went and consoled the pitcher.
I mean, yeah, so I was at first base, you know, I was talking to my coach a little bit. As soon as I see him, you know, starting to get a little emotional because he hit me, and obviously he's selling back to me. So, you know, I wanted to go over there and spread God's love and, you know, make sure that he's okay and make sure that he knows that I'm okay and that I'll be okay. So
he went over to share God's love with him, Brock.
Wow. I can remember one time in college, Dory, where a player on the other team, pretty solid player, and I knew was a Christian athlete and was down with an injury, and I just kind of remember having the same stirring and just feeling like, man, I got to go over and just kind of put my hands on him and wish him well and say a quick prayer for him. And it was not something I did for anybody else, just like that kid. He didn't do it for the cameras, for his parents, for his teammates, his coaches. He did it for that kid to share and be a witness. And I do remember that moment, running into that former player later in the NFL, and him remembering that and him thanking me for that. And I guarantee you, those parents, those coaches, the Little League World Series, and that pitcher in particular, that left a lasting mark. That'll be something they remember for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me play for you what the pitcher said about this too.
I think it was so different because Isaiah, he has his heart is different from people. Like, he's just a good kid.
His heart is different from other people. That's why he did it.
It's pretty cool, man. Neat when you feel, and you know, Molly and I talk about this at times, and we'll run into people or you have different people maybe come to your house, you know, in the service industry or repairing air conditioning or, you know, just something. And you can feel that. I think as a believer, you can sense that Holy Spirit in people, just that stirring that they're just different. They're just set apart. There's a joy. There's a kindness. There's a warmth. They're just, as I said, filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can be that at 80, you can be it at 50, and you can be it, in this case, at 12 and make quite a difference. Yeah, just awesome.
Well said. Okay, finally, I have a little problem. I got a problem that you got to help me with here. I don't know what to do about this.
Okay,
I took my wife to a concert earlier this year in April. I've taken a grand total of 3 vacation days this year to spend with my wife. Uh-huh. I have, as of Monday, I've now taken 4 vacation days to be with you and 5 with Tom Nelson. Brock, this is a problem. It's one I should rectify really, really soon, I think.
Yeah, well, I've given you 2 resorts, Dory. I mean, I don't know what other hints I could give you. Do you think my comments about the Terranea, do you think those came from me? Or do you think maybe I talked to a little birdie as well? Like, come on, how many more hints do you need, Dory Monson? Crying out loud. Go book a trip and get out of town with your lovely bride. She is a whole lot better than Tom Nelson yelling at you or dealing with me. So please, for the love of God, get out there.
Yes.
Turn off CNN. Turn off those sounds and get out there and enjoy some quality time with your bride.
Okay. All right. You've inspired me. That's a good pep talk. All right. And finally, after last night, should we have Anthony Fauci throw out the first pitch at every Mariners game?
I'm good. Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Well, so, that's nice.
I think we're all right. I think we can, give him his time and let's go. Let's move it on. It was the best game the Mariners have played. Gosh, and I mean, certainly this season, and they've had some great ones over the years. But as I said, man, 38,000 in there on an early August before school starts, before the playoffs begin. Let's keep this train going because there's some special players on this team, some young superstars. The guy they traded for, Castillo, is a young Felix Hernandez. And there's some pieces here we have not had to celebrate for quite some time.
Yep. I feel bad for those Yankee fans who stayed up back in New York till 2:15 a.m. only to have their hearts broken like that. I don't feel too bad for them.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
Go Mariners.
All right, Brock Heward, you can hear him every morning on 710 Seattle Sports all fall on Fox Sports College Football. Have a great rest of your stay here in the Evergreen State.
I will, Dory. You continue on as we roll on, roll on, roll on, roll on.
As I told you in the Fast 15, the inflation rate came out today, 8.5%. The highest in last month, it was 9.1. So it's still just as high as it's been. But these numbers are the highest they've been in more than 40 years. But as one listener texted me yesterday, and he's absolutely right about this, it's really the highest of all time. Because they have a different way of calculating inflation rate now versus 40 years ago that softens the number now. But if you go to the grocery store and you see the gas is up $2 a gallon versus when Biden first took office, you know that it's really crippling family budgets. And we're seeing all kinds of stats to back that up. And now the Democrats in the Senate, they just passed an Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to increase inflation even more. It's nearly $1 billion or $1 trillion more that they're going to pour into this economy. It is an absolutely useless act. It will not reduce inflation at all. And here's what's most important. We are in a recession. We've had two straight months of negative GDP. And so what do Democrats say about raising taxes in a recession? Well, before Joe Biden was president, they didn't seem to think that it was a very good idea.
The last thing you want to do is to raise taxes in the middle of a recession.
When the economy is in decline, you don't want to raise overall taxes.
I don't think during a time of recession you mess with any of the taxes or increase any taxes.
No one is going to want to raise taxes when we have a recession.
In an economy like this, the last thing we should do is raise taxes on the middle class.
So what are they doing? They're raising taxes in a recession and raising taxes on the middle class. This new bill, even though Joe Biden promised he would never raise taxes on anybody making under $400,000 a year, this new bill is going to raise taxes on people making over $20,000 a year. So the middle class is going to get slammed. And you ought to wait till you see the middle class get slammed. Wait until we get those 87,000 new IRS agents. As I told you yesterday, 75% of IRS audits are people making under $200,000 a year. So we're talking about the middle class, small businesses. They are going to get slammed. And if they can break into Mar-a-Lago with a partisan judge signing a bogus warrant, imagine what they could do to you or me if our minds aren't right. And then you got Nancy Pelosi. She just got back from China, you know, where she learned a lot of really interesting stuff.
We still support the one China policy. We go there to acknowledge the status quo is what our policy is. There was nothing disruptive about that. It was only about saying China is one of the freest societies in the world. Don't take it from me. That's from Freedom House. Let's talk.
What? What'd she say about communist China? Please?
One of the freest societies in the world. Don't take it from me. That's
Nancy Pelosi believes that China is one of the freest societies in the world. This is how delusional. This is how I said this at the beginning of the show. Everything is completely upside down. We truly are in bizarro world now. Joe Biden, what do you think about the whole China-Taiwan issue?
How worried are you about the situation in Taiwan? Because China is kind of keeping a bit of a grip around the whole island now.
I'm not worried, but I'm concerned that they're moving as much as they are. But I don't think they're going to do anything wrong.
So he's not worried about China, but he's concerned that China's doing what they're doing. But he's not worried about it. But he is concerned about it. The dementia is racing at breakneck speed, sadly, with our crowds. Okay, quick time out. I'm getting some new information in on the person who claims to be transgender in the women's locker room at the Port Townsend YMCA. I'll share that with you. And also, if you drive an SUV, Eco-Terrace may be coming after your tires. Talk to a guy who had his tires slashed locally. That's all coming up in the Big Lead of Two next from the Dory Monson Show.